is available through the TAB app plus the Radio Industries radio app.
Whether you're at home, work, the races or travelling,
make sure Sky Sports Radio is a part of your racing day.
Will this be a Todman Boyle of a Kiss and Make Up? For Gay and Singer leads all the way.
Kiss and Make Up, an incredibly exciting prospect that has confirmation, performance and pedigree. Kiss and Make Up, eligible for the Aquas $200,000 breeder bonus scheme and the Aquas cutest match it scheme. The best value first season sire, Kiss and Make Up, standing for $16,500 including GST at Aquas Farms Emirates Park. Speak to the sales team today or visit aquasfarm.com.
Bingley provides the perfect home office solution with a bonus print and protect pack with any Intel laptop purchase. Take advantage of the small business tax deductions and head to Bingley.
Pacing and Pacing Rewind, Sunday mornings at 10:30.
It's a special Pacing Rewind this morning, focusing on the harness duels at Ashburton yesterday, joined by New Zealand Herald Trots expert regular on Sky Sports Radio, Mick Guerin. Mick, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning to you, Kevin. My apologies, the voice is a bit croaky this morning. It was relatively cold at the duels yesterday, but action on the track was absolutely outstanding. And the only two Australian representatives did themselves proud. No Australian duels yet to win one after 11 years, but 2 seconds. One for Mr. Mojito and the other for One Muscle Hill.
Yeah. We'll chat about those shortly. I just want to talk with you briefly about the background of the whole event. It's a magnificent day on the New Zealand calendar, isn't it? 9 Group 1 races, qualification by invite only, 13 starters in each race based on earnings. Total stakes for the day around about $1.2 million. I'm reading, Mick, that it sits behind only Cup Week in Christchurch in terms of attendance, turnover and prize money, and it's just right up at the top of the tree in harness racing.
It's sort of grand final day, Kevin. It's the day where, you know, the season culminates. Everybody aims their 2, 3 and 4 year olds for this day. There's 9 races, all Group 1s, run back to back. So basically an entire Group 1 program all over the mile. Most importantly, and the novelty of the day, Kevin, is that one day, one year, it's held in Ashburton in the South Island of New Zealand. The next year, it's held in Cambridge in the North Island, of course, home of all the great thoroughbred stallions. So it sort of brings the whole country into play because they swap it around one year from the next. Over the mile distance, the track at Ashburton is very similar to Menangle on the outskirts of Sydney, and therefore they really power up. Yesterday it was cold, so the times weren't overly fast, but some remarkable performances. And as I said, very much grand final day. The New Zealand harness racing season ends on July 31, but for most people now, Kevin, it ended yesterday.
So the difference in the tracks, that's interesting. Do they run quicker times normally at Ashburton than they do at Cambridge?
Yeah, very much so. Cambridge is a 1,000-metre track, so think Melton versus Menangle.
Okay.
Very different type of racing. You can come from the second line draws of Menangle. A lot harder, so at Ashburton, a lot harder to do so at Cambridge. But yesterday was Ashburton. They started with a couple of upsets. Actually, we had a couple of horses who weren't expected to win. They both came from off the speed to do so. But the day really ignited during the middle stages. Piccadilly Princess talking about the similarities between Menangle and Ashburton. She won the Mayor's event, the four-year-old diamond, for $150,000, meaning she's won feature races, remarkably, Kevin, in Perth, Melbourne, Sydney, and the South Island of New Zealand, all in the same season. Now, I would defy any other horse to have won feature races in those four, shall we say, states of Australasia in the same season. So pretty remarkable stuff from Piccadilly Princess. She defending her jewels crown from last year, winning the four-year-old diamond.
The origins of the whole jewels day, Mick, 2007 was the first. What was the thinking behind putting this day together from your memory?
I think Harness Racing New Zealand wanted to have a signature day, a way to end the season and say, this is going to be huge for us. We want to just have a winter spike to our attendance. It's worked wonderfully well. They get a lot of people travelling from Australia, around New Zealand to go there. As I said, put an exclamation mark on the season. $1.2 million is a lot of money. I think it needs to go up, Kevin. I think $50,000 more for the trotters who race for $100,000, and $50,000 more for the pacers who race for $150,000 to get to $200,000 will be good, because it's harder to get the Australian horses here. And harness racing in New Zealand is very much about internationalising their product, trying to get more onto Sky One in Australia, and therefore trying to get more betting coverage. So getting the Australians here is a big help. But I think the next eight need to go at least 50,000 higher, Kevin, to get more Australians. As I said yesterday, there were two in the nine races.
I was reading there's travel agencies that put together packages from Australia to go over and experience the whole jewels. But the Aussies being involved, they were only invited 3 years ago.
And it's been hard to get them across because the young New Zealand horses are so dominant. I mean, they're very good. Obviously, the ones trained by Mark Purden and Natalie Rasmussen, the all-star stable as they're known. They're so good, it's really hard to come across. Much like a New Zealand sprinter going to Australia to race in thoroughbred racing, it's just too tough. But I do think yesterday's seconds will make people go, well, maybe it's not impossible to get over there and win. On the racing front, Kevin, the star of the day was Heaven Rocks. Now, he's partially owned in Australia, has never raced there, came from the unruly, settled off the speed, blazed around them in Sat Park in the four-year-old Emerald. That's the male division of the jewels, and won in 151.8. I would suggest after Lenny the Shark and Lazarus, he may well be the third most talented pacer in Australasia. Talking to Natalie Rasmussen, his former Australian, now New Zealand-based driver, they're indicating they'll be looking at the Miracle Mile with him. So a Miracle Mile next year at Menangle with Lazarus, Lenny the Shark, a couple of the locals, see, and Heaven Rocks will be something that Harness Racing New South Wales will have lots of joy promoting.
Yeah, I'd reckon that would be fantastic. You mentioned the All-Star Stable. Yesterday, Mark Purden trained the four winners, the four-year-old mares, three-year-old fillies, the two-year-old colts and geldings, four-year-old geldings and antires. Barry trained one as well, the three-year-old colts and geldings. So, and Natalie had a drive, a couple of winners. Mark drove one. They just continue to dominate. They're amazing, aren't they, their strike rate?
It really is amazing. It's probably... it's bigger than what Chris Waller's doing. Obviously, Waller's in a far bigger pool. The galloping pool's a lot harder to train these sort of winners in. But, you know, they regularly train two or three Group 1 winners per day. So it's big stuff. They would be among the best harness racing trainers in the world. They do travel a lot to Australia. So in summer, they're basically Trans-Tasman trainers. And a lot of the horses who won yesterday will end up going to either the Breeders' Crown, the Queensland Carnival, that sort of stuff. The best of them, as in regards to the horses who will travel, is Spanish Armada. She's won the New Zealand Oaks, the Nevillier Final, won the Jewels yesterday. She's owned in Victoria, Kevin, and she'll be heading to the Breeders' Crown. That's in Victoria at Melton in August. That's not great news for the trainers of Australian three-year-olds.
Yeah.
She's a very, very good filly. She'll join her stablemate, Vincent, who's currently racing in New South Wales, who's in the Breeders' Challenge there, and a couple of the two-year-olds. So once again, the All-Stars expected to have somewhere between six and eight in their winter assault. Of course, this season, they've already won the Inter-Dominion in Perth and a host of Group 1 races around Australia, including, of course, the New South Wales Derby and the Ladyship Mile with Piccadilly Princess.
The jewels, Mick, covers every age group, doesn't it? The male, the female, the colts, the geldings, fillies, mares, blah, blah, blah. Is there, in a nine-race Group 1 card, one of the races which is considered, the prestigious or the most prestigious of the lot, or are they all fairly equal?
Probably the 3 and 4 year old boys, Kevin. Okay. Other races where the 3 and 4 year old boys end up being New Zealand Cup winners. The horses who won them in the past, a changeover, Chris and Me, Auckland Reactor, horses who have gone on to a Miracle Mile, New Zealand Cups, and all those great races. So if you're good enough to win a 3 and 4 year old jewels for the boys, you're a pretty darn serious horse. The 3 year old boys yesterday was the huge upset of the day, 40-1 for Jack's Legend, who's campaigned in Melbourne, he's campaigned in Auckland, he's been a busy horse. Sat on the trail and beat Ultimate Machete, the horse who ran second in the New South Wales Derby. Not sure he's going to go on to be a champion, but he's a very good horse. The horse out of the day who will be the superstar, as I said, Heaven Rocks. He won the glamour event for the day, the four-year-old boys. And as I predict, he'll probably go New Zealand Cup and then maybe the Miracle Mile in the back end of February next year.
So, off track, can you give us some sort of idea, Mick, the colour of being around Harness Jewels weekend in Ashburton? Just what sort of things are on outside of the track? It must be just one big party, is it?
Oh, it is, and Ashburton's a smaller sort of town. You're probably thinking 12 to 13,000 people. So a lot of people arrive in the place, they don't have a great deal of hotels, and everybody gets together. So you keep bumping into everybody, very much like a Warrnambool harness racing event. So it's more of an actual festival because everybody knows everybody. They race again today with a minor meeting, Kevin. Sort of brings everybody together. A lot of people stay in the same hotels. A lot of Australian visitors see each other. Very similar to how the Inter Dominion used to be in the old days, almost like a travelling party with Route 1 racing smack bang in the middle of it. So, yeah, for a lot of people, it's one of those things where, like Warrnambool, I'll go every year, Kevin, I'll catch up with their mates, have a few beers, and hopefully pick a winner. So, Kevin, we might need to get you across on you.
Yeah, you're losing your voice. You've obviously had a pretty good time in so many ways. Before I let you go, because I know you're in a cab, talk us through your thoughts on Mr. Mojito and One Muscle Hill yesterday.
Yeah, One Muscle Hill was outstanding. Finished second in the trot. Looked the winner at the 100-metre mark. The winner was just far enough advanced on him. Got three lengths on top of the straight. He couldn't catch him. He heads back to Australia now. He'll race on for Nicole Melander. Mr. Mojito for Kieran Manning, who won the New Zealand Cup 2 years ago. He was very, very good. Sat three deep in the marker pegs, peeled out the straight, beaten by a champion in Heaven Rocks, but did a super job. He's going to go home, have a spell, and be set for the New Zealand Cup. So Mr. Mojito coming back for the New Zealand Cup, a race that his stablemate Arden Rooney won 2 years ago. So the Jewels keeps on producing great horses, and plenty of those, Kevin, will be turning up in New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland in coming months.
And Mr. Mojito, I know, was well backed with Aussie punters from $13 into about $6. So obviously some Aussie money hoping for the first place, but second, it was an amazing event to sit back and watch. We were here yesterday looking at it, and it just looked marvellous to be. Great to be a part of it, and Mick, we look forward to speaking to you again. We thank you for your time this morning here on Pacing Rewind on Sky Sports Radio.
Look, Kevin, always a pleasure. Good luck to all the punters today having a bet. My apologies for the croaky voice. It was awfully cold there at Ashburton yesterday. I'm still recovering.
McGurin there, and we'll let him go now. He's in a cab on his way to the airport from the New Zealand Herald. Ashburton in the Canterbury region on the east coast of the South Island of New Zealand, an hour south of Christchurch, and pretty cool. It looked cold, and Mick certainly echoed those sentiments there. 18 to 11, this is Sky Sports Radio. We'll have a look at the chasing component of the Chasing and Pacing Rewind shortly. Just a reminder, Stradbroke, big week, Stradbroke coming up. The Barrier Draw, you'll hear it Wednesday morning. Racing HQ between 9:30 and 10 with Andrew Bensley. The Barrier Draw for the Stradbroke, Racing HQ on Wednesday morning.
Small business tax deductions.
Up to $20,000 per item now applies to eligible small businesses with annual turnover of less than $10 million. Yes, $10 million. This is a good deal and it helps small business. June 30, coming up. Small business, huge benefit. It's a great, great incentive for small business. Harvey Norman sales up. Thank you, small business. Thank you, government.
Tax law is complex and may have different applications to different taxpayers. Before you purchase, seek professional advice to determine whether your business is eligible.
Bet you'll love waiting for a delayed train, half time at the footy, or even sitting in a dentist's waiting room. Because with the Tab app, you can enjoy live racing on your phone anytime, anywhere. What's more, you can even watch races while you scroll out great odds and bet. Plus, with race replays on demand, you can study the favourites or relive a classic race. Enjoy live racing today. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Race replays excludes Victoria Thoroughbreds. Gamble responsibly.
Bingley provides the perfect home office solution with a bonus print and protect pack with any Intel laptop purchase. Take advantage of the small business tax deductions and head to Bingley.
Kiss and Make Up's getting a great sight. Capitalist under pressure. Kiss and Make Up. Will this be a Todman Boyle over Kiss and Make Up? The Gay and Singer leads all the way.
Kiss and Make Up, the third highest rated two-year-old of his generation. And the best value first season sire at $16,500 including GST. With a live foal guarantee and payment terms March 2019. Kiss and Make Up, standing in New South Wales at Aquas Farms, Emirates Park. Speak to the sales team today or visit aquasfarm.com.
Win bigger with a trackside multi-bet. Combine runners from different trackside games and get better odds. So whether it's greyhounds, harness racing or thoroughbreds that take your fancy, you can select your favourites across all codes. Available for win and place bet types, as well as bundle bet. Look out for the yellow button on the betting terminal at your local tab and place a trackside multi today. Trackside, the game is always on. Gamble responsibly.
Tired of paying exorbitant fees to breed your mares? Contact Coringle to discuss all-inclusive breeding packages for dry, maiden and infoal mares to their proven sires, Magic Albert, Dewport and Zariz, as well as exciting young sire, the Brothers War. Packages include service fee, adjustment, vet and GST, and start from $7,000. Contact Angus Lamont on 0429 842 875 to
to discuss the best match for your mare.
Chasing and Pacing Rewind, Sunday mornings at 10:30.
At 14 to 11, this is Kevin Wolfe, Chasing and Pacing Rewind. We enter the greyhound component of the show, and we say from thebogs.com.au. Good morning to Jess Moran.
Morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well. You recovered from a big night at Wente. The Peter Mossman Heats is where we'll start. Talk us through the prestige of the Peter Mossman. Where does it rate?
Yeah, look, I think compared to, say, events such as like the Golden Easter Egg, the Paws of Thunder, the National Derby and Futurities at Wentworth Park, I think it's a little bit underrated in regards to prestige. But you know what? I think it's one of my favourite series of the year. And it always gets some good dogs coming up from Victoria and also some great local hopes here. So I think this year as well, I think this is one of the best iterations of the series that we've seen in quite a while. So I'm really looking forward to the next couple of weeks of racing.
So what sort of prize money are we talking about here?
So this series in particular is $75,000 to the winner. And I think being a three-week series, it also I think it also helps by getting the best final possible at the end of it. A lot of the greyhounds have that sort of second chance in the semi-finals. If they don't quite live up to their potential in the heats, they can come back and give it another crack in the semi-finals. So, $75,000 to the winner. It's quite a little handy prize there.
Yeah, not shabby at all. So you just mentioned the format there. So we had the eight heats last night. What happens next? Talk us through the map to the final.
It should be, I think the top four runners from each of the heats last night will go through to the semi-finals. And then obviously the top two from each of those semi-finals will go through to the final the week after that. So,
okay.
The heats last night, we got some really good results and a couple of the favourites got up, but then there are a couple of upsets as well. So, it'll be interesting to see how the semi-finals work out next week and who goes through to the final.
Got a couple of races to replay for you, Jess. We'll start with Lucky Chap in race nine and broke the clock. It was that quick. Here's Tim Newbold's call.
Racing, Lucky Chap came out like a rocket, led by two at the judge. Over Sound Advice, followed up by Set to Storm. Further back came Zipping Bronco. Wider out was unprecedented. Fusion Girl and Premier State at the rear. Lucky Chap is dead set hiking on the top corner. Led by nine, we might be looking at the quickest run of the night. They all followed up by Sound Advice and Set to Storm. A break to unprecedented, but this is a dead set demolition job. Lucky Chap by a dozen. Set to Storm second. Unprecedented's nailed third. Followed in by Sound Advice. Zipping Bronco, then Fusion Girl and Premier Spry back at the rear. He's run time all right, maybe the quickest run of the year, around 29.5.
You can tell just in Tim Newbold's call there, Jess, he was just blown away by the magnitude of the win. What did you think about that?
Yeah, look, Lucky Chap certainly kept the best for last yesterday. He was in the last heat of the night, and it was just a standout. So he recorded a time of 29.56, and to put that in perspective, that was almost 0.4 quicker than any of the other heats on the night, and it was just 0.01 of a second off the quickest time of the whole year at Wentworth Park. So it was a scorching run, and I think he jumped right to the front as one of the series favourites now. So. That one was just outstanding last night.
We've also got the replay here for you of race two, and this was Patch Adam.
Racing, Patch Adam walked out in the centre mist of a ton, flew out, went straight to the lead. King Carity's following it over to go to second. Corrupt Millions third on the inside, now goes by King Carity. They'll follow it up by Patch Adam into the clear, but giving the lead of seven. Further back, Swift Rain. They'll follow by Minoru Miss and Skitson at the tail top corner, and punching along in the lead is Mr. Vuitton by five over Corrupt Millions. Patch Adam's beginning to launch. Mr. Vuitton by four. Patch Adam coming. Mr. Vuitton gobbled up by Patch. What a performance. Patch Adam way too good. Beat Mr. Vuitton, Corrupt Millions. Followed in by Swift Rain. Further back, Minoru Miss and King Carmody and Skets in the tail end. And that is a big win.
There you go. Patch Adam also impressive.
Yeah, no, look, he was my personal highlight of the heats last night. And, look, he's the quickest greyhound at Wente so far this year. And I think he's probably one of the best hopes in New South Wales in this series. He had to work for that win last night, but his run home was just awesome. Clocked 29.96, which was one of the quicker heat times of the night. but I think the way he did it was the most impressive. And I actually spoke to his trainer, Max Rimmer, after the race, and he confirmed that he and his wife, Helen, actually turned down a big six-figure offer for the dog earlier in the week. He said that he's just having fun with the dog and he wants to keep training him. So hopefully that decision pays off for him.
The all-in market from TAB has been suspended at the moment, so I guess they're just piecing together what happened last night and whether they adjusted or not. So there's no market up at this stage. But roll on next weekend for stage two of the Peter Mossman, Jess.
Yeah, definitely. Look, you know, we've got a couple of good Victorians that won their heats last night as well. Uphill Jill, you know, she's been in multiple group races this year. Her heat win was quite good as well. Aston DB was very impressive in heat two, as was Anthony Azzopardi's Rowan Hill in one of the other heats. And I think a couple of the New South Wales hopefuls actually had a few upsets in their heats last night. Mr. Twister, Chevy King, they were both sort of top picks going into their races, but they were both beaten into second. However, I think Chevy King was carrying an injury and Mr. Twister was drawn out in box seven, which isn't his preferred draw. So I think both of them can improve next week. And if they get great draws and come up against some, you know, easy fields, I think that we will have a good chance for them to qualify. But yeah, look, the draw for the semi-finals is out on Tuesday on thedogs.com.au, so make sure to check it out because I think the semi-finals will just be great.
Excellent. Let's rewind a little then. Let's go back to Thursday night, the Group 3 Howard Ashton final at Angle Park, and Crunchin' Numbers, here's how it went.
And away, Farm and Only Slow. Speed from Crunchin' Numbers is going to burn to the lead. Deputy Speaker's coming over. Victor Ollie's going with it. Farman's back last, the inside. So the leader early, Crunchin' Numbers, three lengths on Victor Ollie, then Deputy Speaker. Fourth is Slipper's Wish, then came Usain Squeeze. Well back, Kiowa Big Bow, then came Farman running into dead ends, and last is Pearl Cape. Leader Crunchin' Numbers, Victor Ollie's a length and a half away, then Deputy Speaker. Crunchin' Numbers in front for Benny Rawlings, and Crunchin' Numbers is going to win. Victor Ollie's second, third the inside. We had Usain Squeeze getting up on the inside to run a gallant third, I think.
So there was the Howard Ashton final. Crunchin' Numbers, how did you rate this one?
Yeah, look, I think the Howard Ashton is a great little series over there at Angle Park. It's only for South Australian bred greyhounds, and it's also an age-restricted race for dogs from 2 to 2.5 years old. And as you just heard, Crunchin' Numbers was a great winner. And look, he came into the heats a couple of weeks ago already with four wins on the trot. And I think he was just a standout dog through the series, winning both his heat and his semi-final in good fashion. You know, I think there was a few questions over the box draw. He did draw box four, but it didn't seem to affect him in the end because he did lead all the way to win in 30-19. I do have to mention, though, Victor Ollie there, you heard in the call, he did push him all the way, and it was a very good run. He just couldn't quite get there in the end. And it's also interesting to note as well that Ben Rawlings, the trainer of Crunchin' Numbers, seems to have a bit of luck in this series. He also won last year's version in this race with the greyhound Wildebeest, who went on to be quite a handy chaser around South Australia. So I think it'll be interesting to watch next year and see whether Ben can make it three in a row.
All right, that was the week that was. And there were some wonderful highlights there, weren't there? Let's look ahead to what's coming up, starting at Grafton on Monday. And a big night there at Grafton. Tell us more.
Yeah, look, I think so the Grafton meeting will mainly comprise of some races from the Ladbrokes up for the Challenge series. Now, this is an interesting new format which has been debuted this year. And for those listeners who haven't been following it, greyhounds have been racing at numerous tracks around the state for the past 2 months, trying to earn points in heats over both the sprint and the distance. Then after all the heat legs, the top eight greyhounds in both distances then qualify for two $20,000 finals at Wentworth Park on June 17th. Now, since the start of April, this series has already been out to Gunnedah, Bulleye, Richmond, Wagga, Tamora, Bathurst, Dubbo and Grafton. However, we come back for a second time to Grafton tomorrow because of the ongoing repairs at Lismore. And look, time is running out to qualify for the finals because tomorrow's meeting provides the last opportunity for greyhounds to earn the much-needed points to secure their spots. And amongst those in the same division who are trying to make a last-ditch attempt at qualifying is Michali Mia. The group winner scored her first points of the series with a win here at the track last week. However, she only sits 16th on the leaderboard, and nothing short of a win will guarantee her place at Wentworth Park in 2 weeks' time. Some of the other stayers lining up at Grafton hoping to increase their points tally include Midnight Treat, who is currently 12th on the leaderboard, and Kittadee Dan and Packy Keeping, who are also both equal 17th on the leaderboard. And with a win, any of them could catapult into the final. And in the sprinting heats, I think the story of the night is Denise Warren, who is making the nine-hour trip all the way from Goulburn to cement spots for her Greyhounds Quota Dynasty and Something New in the final. They're currently fifth and eighth respectively, but both of them need a good performance to make sure that they qualify. So I think, look, it's definitely one to tune into tomorrow night, because it's going to be some great racing, and people, trainers and dogs are definitely trying to pick up that all important spot in the final on June 17th at Wentworth Park. So make sure to tune in. I think it'll be a great meeting there at Grafton tomorrow night.
Yeah, we'll have all the races, of course, and Mark Arundale doing a fine job there calling our Grafton Greys for us. And I guess looking ahead to Thursday at Albion Park, the Group 1 Gold Cup. Tell us about some of the names coming up for this.
Yeah, look, a very quick preview of the series. Kicks off at Albion Park on Thursday night, as you said. $75,000 series for the stayers. And I think because it's right after the Sandown Cup, most of the informed greyhounds do usually head up for it. But I think they also have quite a couple of handy dogs usually lining up in it too. The jolt isn't out for the heats yet. That's due out tomorrow morning on thedogs.com.au, so we can only speculate at the moment. However, I wouldn't be surprised to see Star Victorian Dogs Burn One Down or Trip to Eden make the journey up north. If they do, I reckon they will be hard to tip against. We could also see a couple of greyhounds making the very long trip from South Australia and WA for the race too. Bogey Beckham could keep the run of good luck going for Ben Rawlings from South Australia. And Teddy Minnelli for David Hobby has also been a constant figure in group finals this year. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him either. And I would also expect to see some experienced Queensland campaigners like Cindy's Magic in the field as well. She's always competitive at her home track, and she's no stranger to big races. So I definitely think she's one to be respected if she does take part in the series. So as I said before, the draw comes out tomorrow morning on thedogs.com.au. So make sure to log on and check it out. And Stuart is back from his holidays next week, so I'm sure he will have a wrap-up of all the action from the heats for you next Sunday.
Where's he been sunning himself, Jess?
He's been sunning himself back in the UK. I don't know if there's much sun back in the UK, but I'm sure he'll be relaxed and be raring to go next week. And yeah, he was looking forward to that trip for a long, long time. So back home to visit family, and he'll be back on Thursday. So Sunday, he'll be all yours.
Yeah, hopefully he's safe enough after what's been happening in London overnight. So that's not a great way to end his trip there. But we just pray for anybody with family over there in London. But anyway, Stu is back. Great job, Jess. Don't go away. We'll be no doubt keeping in touch with you plenty of times over the next week here on Sky Sports Radio.
Yeah, of course. And look, it's been a pleasure filling in over the past month. I had big shoes to fill, but hopefully I did a decent job.
Excellent. You can come back again.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Jess. Jess Moran there from thedogs.com.au. And yes, Stu Turner's back next week. Don't forget Going Greyhounds Monday morning at 10:30. Dave Carlson did it last week. He's at Dave's gig now that Duke has left the building. But all the Greyhound action reviewed again in depth Monday morning at 10:30.
Sky Sports Radio is powered up for the winter.
Whether it's thoroughbred, harness or greyhound racing, we bring you the very best from right around New South Wales. Weekdays, Racing HQ's News Hour from 9 a.m. is followed by form analysts previewing all the New South Wales major meetings.
Plenty to putt on today, mate. Only find good winners.
That's what we want. Hey, any winner's a good, even a bad winner's a good winner. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Whether your appetite is for racing or sports, you can rely on Sky Sports Radio
for the winning formula.
Provides the perfect home office solution with a bonus print and protect pack with any Intel laptop purchase. Take advantage of the small business tax deductions and head to Bingley.
Capitalist under pressure. Kiss and make up. Will this be a Todman Boyle over Kiss and make up? For Gay and Singer leads all the way.
Kiss and make up. The third highest rated two-year-old of his generation. And the only juvenile to conquer and defeat Australian champion two-year-old Capitalist. Eligible for the Aquis $200,000 breeder bonus scheme and the Aquis cutest matched scheme. Kiss and make up. Standing in New South Wales at Aquis Farms, Emirates Park. Speak to the sales team today or visit aquisfarm.com.
June is 10% end of financial year extra discount month at astivita.com.au. That's a further 10% off the already discounted prices of up to 70% off on wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapwares, vanities, toilet suites, basins, baths and fridges. 2-year warranty, over 50 service locations with free delivery.